Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody today?
Blessed and highly favored.
You are alive and well, blessed and highly favored. Amen. That is, I'm just getting this set up so I can go to it quickly. Well, in prayer this morning, Rod prayed that my vacation would start now. And I'm on it. For those of you who don't know, I'm taking the next 2 weeks off. I won't be in the office starting tomorrow. And way to go. Throwing things around here. Oh, and there goes my mic again. This is a morning. Just give me a sec. Well, it would be a problem for you, not for me. Praise God. So I am taking a vacation for the next couple of weeks. I'll be gone 2 weeks, and I thank you for the ones who are stepping in to pulpit fill for me while I'm away. So keep them in prayer. Rod and Ted are going to do that for me, for us, and so keep them in your prayers that, again, that the word that they bring, well, we know the word that they bring will be good. Amen. Amen. How many of you are enjoying the sunshine? Yes. Yes. Only I looked out the window this morning and it was last night. I'm sorry. I'm sitting there and I'm looking out my window and I'm going, sun is shining and it's glorious. And it's like, what is that? Because I could see little bugs flying around, but there's these things falling straight down. It was raining. Well, the sun was shining and I thought, wow, I've seen sun showers before. That's what we used to call them. But I haven't seen one in a little while, at least not this year. So it was kind of cool. I thought that would be a lot of birds peeing if that's what it was, you know. Wasn't that? Sorry about that. Ew. Well, the last couple of weeks, more than a couple of weeks, that I've been sharing. And again, thank you, Crystal, for your message. Last week, that was good. How many of you enjoyed your pie for guys, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah? Well, if you still want, there's still some pie in the fridge from last week, if you trust it. Help yourself. I think we're going to make sure they hit the garbage. So the last while, I have been preaching on Jesus, our reigning King, and understanding what that means. We often talk about his death. Some people get stuck at the cross. We talk about his burial and his resurrection, and we spend a great deal of time there, but we forget he is our risen King, and he has ascended into the heavenlies. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and we are seated there with him. So today's message I've entitled, let me see, there we go, Jesus Replied. I did that to tempt you in a good way. So I want to do a little something. I bring back the last few weeks because it's really important as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, that you, number one, know who you are in Christ.
Yes.
That you, number two, know where your position is. Number three, that you know the authority that's been given to you. Number four, that you know, and again, not necessarily, sometimes it all comes together in little chunks. You know God's word. But the one thing, the main thing, if I can put it this way, is you must know Jesus. You must know the Lord. Ephesians 1, somewhere between verse 17 and 23, it says, Paul prays that you may know him better. The more we know our Lord, the more we understand who we are, the position we're in, the authority we have, his word, and his love for us. Do you know that you are loved?
Yes.
We can say it. We can quote, Jesus loves me, or sing the song, but do you know his love for you? And that is where we want to keep growing. His love for us and his love for every human being that's ever walked the face of the earth or ever will. It talks about in Scripture, this is one of my favorite words. I love the way it feels on my tongue and I love what it means. The word is lavish. Lavish. Isn't that a great word? And it says he lavishes us with his love. Well, that got a rise. Oh, well, okay, good, right. They're thinking about it. Yes, well, and we want to keep thinking about that. So when I share about those all of this, you know, who we are, our position, our authority, God's word, it's all because of the love of Jesus and the love of the Father and what Jesus was willing to go through to bring us into back into the family, rescue us from our sin-filled nature. Myself, I'm going to say the elders, the leadership of the church, we have been called to equip you. To equip you to know him better. And you have been called to do the work of the ministry. And it's been a long time where people sit in the church and think the minister, that's what they call the pastor, is the one who does all the ministry. That's not what the Bible says. Okay? We've all been called. You are a royal priesthood, right? And so when I say that, I want you to understand that's why we believe in discipling new believers. We believe in home groups that you should be a part of and participating. Bible studies, worship services, this here right now where we gather. We want to encourage each other. We want to know that you're doing personal Bible studies of the Word, that you're spending time in prayer connecting with the Father and getting together with him. And it's all to help you know him better, to grow into what he has called you to be and what he's called you to do. Last week, I love what Wendell got up here and shared an encouraging word from Scripture. It doesn't matter of your age, right? God has called you no matter what your age is and is continually calling you to move in, and he's equipping you and strengthening you. You know, this last week I was reading in Joshua the story about Caleb. I'm going to read that to you. Listen to what it says. This is from chapter 14. I'm going to start in verse 10. They've already come through across the Jordan River into the Promised Land or outside of there. And so this is what Caleb says. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses, while Israel moves about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. How old is he?
85.
Anybody got him beat? Don't have to put up your hand. You'll take it. I am still strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out and battle now as I was then. Now give me the hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard then that the Amalekites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Now just let you know that those Amalekites were giants. They're the same giants that were in the Promised Land when they went in the first time. He's part of the 12 spies. That's what he's talking about. He and Joshua came back with the good report of the Lord. Sure, there are giants in the land. Yeah, we might look like grasshoppers to them, but look, God's with us. But what did the other 10 say? What was their report? War is us. What is Caleb doing right here, right now? He's doing something. He is decreeing and declaring a fact, the promise of God, that this is what the Lord had said to me. He had to wait on it. How long?
45 years.
A long time, 45 years. He waited on that to go in and get this land. Now it's his, and he's going to take it. And he says, and the Lord is with me. The Lord is faithful. This is what he promised, and I'm going to go take it. It is Joshua 14, starting at verse 10. Did I say Isaiah?
No, you said Joshua 10.
Oh, I'm sorry. Joshua 14, verse 10. So, how many of you have been waiting a long time to see the word of the Lord fulfilled, the promise of God in your life?
Amen.
Have you waited 40 years yet?
Yes.
Some of us have. Some of us have got the years on us. Yes. Do we give up?
No.
We know that the Lord is faithful to his promise, and we will keep declaring and decreeing it, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit here. So, holding on to what the Lord has done is something, the promises he has made is something that we want to keep doing. It's important for us to hold on to these things. So, coming back to Jesus replied, and where we're going this morning, and oh, we've already done this part. We'll put that up there. So again, we want to know who we are, where you are positioned, the authority you have been given, and the words of God, the promises of God. So we're going to go to Matthew 16, starting around, but I'm going to start around verse 13. I'm just going to give you some context here. This is where Jesus is meeting with his disciples, and he's asked them, who do people say I am? And they said, well, people say, you know, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, others say you're a prophet, da, da, da. And then he asked them, well, who do you say I am? And Peter's the one who spoke up. Peter says this. Okay, so he's talking about Jesus. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. It will require movement. If you are like Peter and believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, I want you to stand up. Amen. Let's repeat. Say, we're talking about Jesus. We're going to say this together. Jesus, who are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen.
Amen.
Now you may be seated. So I want to ask you, why did you stand up? Did you stand up because I asked you to, or did you stand up because you've had a revelation of Jesus? Both. Both. Somebody said both. Well, I hope the second one is more the reason why than that. It's because I said, if you believe, stand up. Now, let's take a look here. Come on. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for that was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. How many of you have ever said to yourself, I don't hear God and I don't know his will? Any of you ever said that? Have there been times? Sure. But here's the scoop. If you stood up there, you hear God. Because if you believe that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God, it isn't flesh and blood that revealed that to you. It is the Father who revealed that to you. You may have heard it spoken through man, but the revelation of it came from the Father. You hear him. And why do I tell you that? Because there's a lot of people who don't believe they hear. I don't know what the voice of God sounds like. I'm saved, but I don't know how to hear from him. You hear. And anything less than that, well, I'm going to say is the enemy's attempt to keep you confused. Jesus goes on to say this, and this is, come on. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. What is the rock he's speaking about? Is it Peter?
No.
No. It's the revelation Peter had that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is that revelation that you have. And he is building his church. So you know that one of the things, one of the parts of your identity is that you're a part of the church. You are part of the church. We are living stones being built together. The church is the called out ones. It's also known as the ones that gather. Here we are gathering. It also comes with an understanding of governmental authority. The church, that's interesting. And we'll go to Isaiah and our Christmas things. You know, I always call it the Christmas one. That's when we sit to hear it most from Isaiah. He is, what are the things he's called in Isaiah? And the increase of his peace and government, there will be, and the government shall be upon. Okay. So you got a little body standing here, a glorious creation of the Lord. I have shoulders, I have a head and a neck, arms and fingers and feet and legs and toes and all the glorious stuff that happens with under the skin. You all have it digested and all that. So that's one of the other things that we are called. We're called the body. But before we get to the body, I missed one here. We're also called the bride. Without spot or wrinkle. Equally yoked with Jesus. And that's because of his blood shed for us. You're equally yoked with Jesus. He isn't going to be equally yoked with something less superior than him. Do we understand that? And we sit there and go, but I am. Then you're not believing what the Lord has done, because you are a new creation in Christ. His blood removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. And if I can pick up on what Lorinda said, so we have no business messing around in sin. But if you fall, if you get messing, and you come to your senses, Jesus is right there to forgive. So we are this church, the called out ones, gathering together, governing the bride without spot or wrinkle, equally yoked with Jesus, the body of which he is the... Okay. What happens on earth when you separate the head from the body? It ain't happening anymore, right? There's. So why do we think that we're separate from Jesus? We're down here, he's up there. Is that the case? Where are we seated? With him in heavenly places, because we're not separated from him. The head is not separated from his body. Now, is he living in us? As we walk, yes, he is. He is not separated from his body. So that's why we can say we are seated with him, because that's what the Father's done. We're not separated from his body. Now, let me ask you, what do you use on your body to hold things? To grab things, to get things? Hands. Hands. Now, sometimes we put things on our teeth. Is that supposed to be what they're there for? The dentist will tell you, don't do that. Sometimes we think we don't have an option. But the hands are made to take, to grab, to hold, to lift, to carry. And where are your hands on your body? On the end of your arms, where are your arms? Attached to your shoulders. Are your arms sticking out your head? Your hands up here? No, not yet. So if we're the body of Christ, where are his hands? We are. We are. Now let's move on to the next scripture here as I set that up. So Jesus has just said this. Now he says this. So Peter, based on that, the gates of hell will not prevail. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Where do the keys go? Where do you pick up your keys with? Who has the keys? No. Hold on. I'm giving who? You. You're the hands. My hands. You're part of the body. I've put them in your hands. The keys are in your hands. Okay? I'm going somewhere with this. So hold on. Now, when you get keys, what do keys do?
Unlock things.
Or? Yeah, what do you unlock? Doors, boxes, gates, jail cells, right? Keys lock, or you lock them. And why do we unlock them? So you can open them and exit, go through. They open a way through or close a way through. So, now if I was to give you the keys to my house or my car, and I said, go ahead and use them, what are you going to use them for? Going in and out, right? And if I give you the keys and you start going in and out, do you have the authority to do so? If I gave them to you and said, here's the keys, you have the authority to do so. Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, the keys to the kingdom that Jesus has given us to bind and loose are in our hands. So how do we do this? What keys? Is he actually giving us a physical key? No. What we do is it's about what we speak and the words we speak and whose words we speak. To bind and to loose is to allow or not allow. To allow what is lawful and not allow what is unlawful. Again, the opening and the closing. To enforce. Okay? Give you a little illustration here. Maybe. Oops, no, that's backwards. I want to go this way. We'll put this in that other one we'll go back to. We see a police officer here, and he's directing traffic. He's stopping traffic, and he's telling some to go this way. Now, let me ask you, does that man, that police officer, have the physical strength to stop a 5,000-pound car coming at him? No. So why do cars stop, and why do they go the direction that he points? Because we recognize his authority. We recognize that the power that he has is from a legal governing system that is behind him, that has given him the power and the authority. They're going to back him up, or them, whoever, you know, whatever police officer, back him up, because they have given him the right to enforce the law. And that uniform tells us that he has the authority to enforce it. Okay. Rod, this morning in prayer. What do we have as a uniform? Oh, come on. The armor of God. Thank you. So, what goes on our head? A helmet of salvation. What is our breastplate? What goes around our middle? Belt of truth. What is on our feet? Gospel shoes. Good news shoes. Peace. Peace. A shield of? And the sword of? And for those of you who don't know where to find that, just go to Ephesians 6:10. It'll give you. You have a uniform. And I want to tell you who recognizes the authority in that uniform. Absolutely, he gave it to us. But the enemy. So do you recognize that you're in a uniform that he recognizes? Now, are there people who disrespect authority and the law enforcement? Absolutely. And it's the same with the enemy. He disrespects what the law, but if you come, I'll tell you what, if you're a police officer and you're kind of standing over here, and is there any authority in that? But sometimes that's the way we act as Christians, when the enemy and the things that are going on, us just kind of, I just look down over here, because we're not standing in authority because we didn't know we had it. Oh, I'm just a little sinner saved by grace. Thank you, Jesus. And that's one of those little statements that is just not true. It's not confessing what has happened. It's leaving you in the past. You were a sinner. You are saved by grace. You are now a child of God in the kingdom of God, positioned in the right hand of the Father in Christ with the authority and the keys of heaven, of the kingdom given to you. But when was the last time you heard a message about that? Sorry. We should have. We need to keep reinforcing and reminding ourselves of who we are, what we have, and again, who the enemy really is. And that is powerless against one who stands in authority. Because we come enforcing, if I can put it that way, the promises and the law of God. I want you to understand, Jesus fulfilled all the law for us. And we are now in him. We've been given the authority to speak the legal things that have been established through Jesus Christ. He told us how to pray. Our who? Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. We just spent time glorifying God, glorifying Jesus, because hallowed is his name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Who has the keys to do that? Who's given us the authority? Is his name above all names? When he said to us, you've got it, I'm giving this to you. Did he mean it?
Yeah.
Who can refute it? Not nobody. Not one. Sorry, I just kind of lost my place. Father's will done in heaven as it is in earth. You have the position, the authority, and all of heaven backing you in the name of Jesus. And we declare and decree. And I'm going to get into that in just a minute. Now, how are you going to use those keys? What are your words like? Your words are the keys that open and close. And what I mean is, what are you speaking? Are you speaking Abba Father's words? Or are you still hanging around the gates of Haiti, opening and letting words come in and out of there? I'm going to give you a little sneaky thing that comes out of the gates that you kind of let sneak in. Well, if it is God's will for me to be healed. That's from the pit. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Is it God's will for you to be healed?
Always.
Did Jesus die for your healing?
Yes.
Does the scripture, the word of God, who never lies, say by his stripes we are healed? Are we going to stand like Caleb and going to keep pushing in for 40 years till we get the promise in our life?
Yes.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Okay. And I'll tell you what, when you get discouraged, you need to go to a brother and sister. This is discouraging me. And come on, we need to get the word out for them and remind them who they are and stand with them in the truth of what the Bible says, what the word of God says. And I'll tell you what, you have the authority to do it. When we talk about decrees, it's an official order that has the force of the law behind it. And we talk about, when you say declare, it means to state a fact out loud. Sorry, that's the armor. I get ahead of myself here. To decree is that official order that comes to enforce the law. To declare is to state a fact out loud. This is what we said this morning. We at Camrose Community Church declare and decree. We are speaking out loud every time we get together and do this on a Sunday morning, a fact because we've taken it from Scripture and it's got legal enforcement behind it. So we're not just standing up and quoting something pretty Pastor Shannon put up there and ain't that sweet and ain't that biblical. Ah, that's nice. And I'm encouraging you now to get the authority and the force behind it. How many of you can say, as for me and my family, this is what I want, we're going to serve the Lord, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing, therefore, we shall be saved. It ain't, you know, when it comes out in your bulletin on Friday from Rebecca, take a chance to memorize it and read it so that when you come and when we stand together, and I'm going to talk another time about what it means where two or more are gathered. That's coming. Here's the second one. The Lord has established my household as people for himself and has surrounded my entire household with favor as a shield. How many of you want that for your family? Now, I want to say it says household, but I'll speak to you. Maybe you want to go tribe. Maybe I don't care how many generations out you want to go. You stand. You're the matriarch and patriarch of a family, a line of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and maybe even great-great-grandchildren. As for me and my whole family. Because the enemy wants to steal them away from you. And I stand with you in that saying, I have seen him snatch the enemy from my family. And I'm coming back. And he better watch out because he's losing them all in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. He has lost them all in the name of Jesus. So we come and we stand and we decree and declare and we bind and we loose, enforcing the word of God. And when we come at it where we're speaking life over our family, good things, that's the offensive. And where we're binding up what the devil is doing, that's the defensive. And I love this morning in prayer where, see, I was just all excited with everybody, what they were coming with this morning, because it's just like, it's just feeding right into this, is we get to stand in the offensive and declare the things of God, healing, health, wholeness, salvation, more so than we need to beat up the devil. But when he comes and when we see it, we've got the authority to enforce the laws of heaven, the good things of heaven, bind him up and cast him and his demonic followers. And again, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against all of these powers, dominions that set themselves up against God. You're not fighting people. They're blinded if they're walking with the enemy. They're caught, but we get to break that up. Anyhow, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. So let me ask you this. How many of you know of people who have adult children still living in their house that are being taken care of by their parents? And they're sitting downstairs in the basement. I'm just putting in the basement, maybe their own bedroom, playing video games and just letting mom and dad. Mom does the laundry. Dad mows the lawn. They don't have to pay rent. They're not looking for employment. And they're full of excuses why. Oh, well, it's too hard. I had a hard time in school, a rough time in school. It's hard to find a job these days. I just can't seem to keep them. You know, the bosses are just mean. And then, oh, it's tough for kids these days. And on and on and on go the excuses. And the parents may not be happy about it, but they're letting it happen. Okay, hold that. Put a pin in that. Hold that thought. Here's another thought, and I'm going to tie them all together in just a minute. How many of you were taught at a young age how to put your clothes on? Yeah, taught how to do socks, and, you know, took a little time. How many of you could say by the time you were three, probably four, you could dress yourself? Yep. How many of you still need your parents to help you put on your clothes? Are you sure? I sure hope not. Why is that? Because you don't have to be shown again. You were taught, you know, you were told how to do it, and you know how to do it. So let's combine these two things together. Because unfortunately, it really is where the church universal is at today. You see, we're sitting downstairs in our basement doing our own thing, waiting for God to show me how to put my clothes on, waiting for God to do something. And he's already done it. And when I say the church, I'm going to include us in it. Because we need to get up, take responsibility, and do what he has shown us and told us to do. There comes a time when your excuses are just not doing it anymore. And just like those adult children living in the basement or the one who's still waiting for God to get you dressed and do something, get up. Take responsibility because he has done it. He said it is finished. He's seated in heavenly places. We are the body here in the earth with the keys. Let's get at it. Jesus said, when you pray, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we say, well, what is your will, God? I don't know. It's like, come on. As a believer, you should know, and the only ones I'm going to give a little grace to in that, or room in that, is if you're a brand new believer. But I want to tell you, sometimes brand new believers move out in the things of God where the old saints have sat down because they believe and they're just fresh and they're new and they're going for it. Well, I don't know what the Father's will is. Well, is his will that people be saved? Yes, none should perish. Is his will that we pray for laborers to go into the harvest? Is his will healing? Yes. Jesus healed them all, it said. And then he told us, everything you've seen me do, you'll do in even greater things. So, again, when we're struggling to see why aren't people being healed, I'm going to tell you this. You're going to have to wait till I'm back because we're going to talk about that. But the truth is, we're going to say, Papa is faithful. Let every man be called a liar and him be proven. Right? The Lord be proven. How about this? How about the fact that that God wants to give us increase? He wants us to prosper. He wants us to bless so we can be a blessing. Is that what he says? Yeah, it sure does. So how many of you have ever been in the courtrooms of heaven or in the places of heaven seeing God print money for us? Isn't that what we're waiting for happen? No, he's not doing that. In fact, what he says, all the gold and all the silver in the earth is mine. Where is it? It's already here. The cattle on 1,000 hill are already here. Psalm 23, thank you, Crystal, for this week. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He's given us everything. And he says in Scripture, there is more than enough for the good works. The wealth of the wicked is being stored up for the righteous. That's all in God's word. The wealth is here for us, and we get to call it in. Who's holding it up? The devil. Thank you. Us and the devil. The devil's holding it up, but us in the sense that we're not calling it in. And we get a little freaked out by that because, you know, mammon is a world of wicked, you know, all the things. Hello? But in wealth in the hands of the righteous, what's it going to do? What can we do with that? Oh, my goodness. Are there missionaries we'd like to support? How about the Bible College? Would we like to see things happen there so that young men and women, or maybe even older ones, are raised up to get out into the world, to pastor churches, to evangelize? Yeah. How about right here in our community? What would we like to bless? There are so many things that are there, and the wealth is ours. I don't know. I'm going to say this. And all of this we're doing in faith. How many of you actually looked at the bulletin this week? Don't put up your hands. And in the bulletin, because the week after the board meeting, we always put out the financial status of the church. And if you look this week, there was a big red number there, minus so much. And if you did this, I call it sucking air through your teeth. That's not an act of faith. That says where my heart is positioned in this. I'm going to confess when I saw that, that's what I did. But we can catch ourselves. And I said, no, wait a minute. My Father in heaven said there is enough, more than enough for every good work. And this is a good work of the Lord. This is a good work of the Lord. And so I looked at that number and I thought, oh, Papa, what are you going to do? What are you going to show us? And then he said, stand up and claim what we want. So I did a bottom line, what I want to see come in every month. It seems ridiculously impossible with our little congregation, but God doesn't always take it from our pockets. It comes from other places. It comes when somebody just is moved by the Holy Spirit. We've heard stories of that. We see that. Wherever the enemy is trying to hold it up, we just call it in. We call it in. That there will be no more deficits in our accounts this year. And that we'll see it grow so we can move and do the things the Lord has called us to do. Amen? Amen. So we are going to bind the enemy's hands against our finances and loose the wealth of God in the earth to come and meet the need, and with more so of abundance. Another thing what we're called to do is bind up the darkness and the deception and loose people from the spiritual blindness that the enemy is using. Again, this isn't all about just saying it, naming it, claiming it, blabbing it, grabbing it, or all of that, anything you want to say. It's about walking in faith and speaking forth the word of the Lord. The legal things that have taken place because of the finished work of Jesus. All of it gets back to Jesus. All of it gets back to him. Jesus said in Matthew 11:22, have faith in God. Have faith. Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the words of Christ. Let's get into the word and let's stop drinking milk and eating meat. Let's get going for what Jesus has called us to. He's given us the keys. He's given us the authority. He has made us new creations. We are kingdom citizens. And we can bring Papa's law into the earth. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? Oh, I'm not sure what happened there. You're okay, don't worry. We'll wait till the last slide comes up. One more. Oh, and there we go. Oops. There it is. Okay. And Jesus replied to Simon. He said, blessed are you, say your name, Shannon. Okay. Because Papa's revealed to us, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on heaven or in heaven. Amen. Amen. Father, again, we thank you for what you have done through our blessed and wonderful Lord Jesus, Savior, Messiah. And Jesus, we give you glory, honor, and the power and authority. And we thank you that you've now given it to us. Holy Spirit, that's the other thing I forgot to mention. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you dwell in us with the power of God in us. And as we go out into this world, we are going to speak the promises of God. We're going to speak life and stand in the authority that you've given us, binding and loosing and affecting the world around us for the kingdom of God. Oh, Jesus, thank you again. As we go again, may you be glorified and honored in all we do and say. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.